If you are just tuning in, we are going to breaking news out of Washington.
Again, this is a developing story. There has been an explosion.
Absolutely shocking.
Officials searching for answers.
And didn't we just have a Die Hard movie and a White House down already? Oh, wait, no, that was called A Good Day Die Hard and Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, and it's not like the two ideas have been mixed and Olympus Has Fallen. Oh, wait, yes, they have.
But you know what this one has that those don't? A black guy.
And Ronald Emmerich. Is that his name? Did I pronounce it right? Frankly, I don't care, but...
Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm with you. I don't really know. I think it's Roland Emmerich or whatever.
I know him as a guy who blows shit up.
Yeah, he's the guy that blows up the White House. That's the guy you need to know him as, whatever.
Right.
In 2013, back in the 90s when that shit was cool, it's like 2013, we don't really care anymore if that building goes down. I mean, because we didn't see things go down before, so that building, nah.
I love the joke that they have in this movie. It's like, man, they blew up the White House like Independence Day. It's like,
I think Roland Emmerich walked on screen and looked at the camera and winked at everybody and said, it's coming, don't worry.
I would have laughed really hard if like someone was like, man, it's like the city got destroyed like that shitty Godzilla movie.
You talking about that 100,000 BC shit?
2012's coming!
Oh, wow, that's amazing, whatever. So, this shit could be wrapped up so simply, though, whatever. So I'm just going to give a real quick synopsis here. We're going to get into the meat of what we thought was funny, stupid, ridiculous, entertaining, made you cry, maybe. I don't know.
Can you take out the word funny and just go with stupid?
I was going to say racist, but you know...
That was the word I was going to replace funny with, but we'll get into that because... Oh, boy!
I got a question for you, too, when we get into this part, because judging now that we have a white man on the show, I can ask him this now, so...
Oh, goody! It's going to be one of those reviews.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those. I'm just curious now. I have to ask somebody. I just have to now. But, so we're following John Cale, played by Channing Tatum. Ugh.
Yeah.
Who has a daughter, Emily, played by Joey King.
Of course he does.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. What? Oh, yeah. In World War Z, I said, I finally saw a movie where the kid didn't annoy me. Yeah, this is the movie where it brought it back now. The fucking girl annoyed me.
But, they make her a little liberal.
Oh, my God. That girl. We'll get in that bitch, though. But who has? She has an obsession with politics and the president of the U.S., the United States of America, James Sawyer. Uncle Sawyer. Played by Jamie Foxx. Who gave him that fucked up name, first of all?
Yeah. Racist mark number one.
Yeah, please count off the racist marks as I go along with this, please.
Like, so, literally, yeah. I was sitting here watching it, and they're like, Mr. President, yeah, please, call me Jack Sawyer. I was like...
Okay, I'm glad we had the same reaction. See, we should have watched this together. Man.
I would have looked at you and been like, wait, what?
When we had a view and brew for Django or whatever, there's constantly times where I just turned my head to the next person sitting next to me and just looked at them. And I figured me and you would have been doing that through this whole movie. Just, yeah, they went there. But so Cale takes his daughter Emily on a tour of the White House until it's compromised by disguised janitors.
Yeah.
So, Capitol policeman John Cale springs into action to save his daughter and protect the president from the attack from these attacks, which honestly gets kind of convoluted in the middle because...
Kind of?
Man, I honestly don't know what to say. I mean, I've been reading reviews. I've just been reading reviews left and right, just seeing the praise on Channing Tatum in this movie. I was just like, this guy is horrible.
He doesn't do anything.
Like the whole time. Okay, you know what? I'll give the movie a little credit here. And that's not so much me giving the credit to the villains, but I thought the way the villains acted, they were menacing and threatening. And it adds a little, you know, a little horror to the movie itself, whatever. But when you go back, when you cut back to Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum, and Channing Tatum cutting one-liners, and Jamie Foxx is shooting one bad racial jokes and stereotype jokes and shit, you just kind of like, this is really even a threat then, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Okay, people, let's clarify something here. This is a buddy action movie. Let's get that out of the way real quickly. This is a buddy action movie. This is Roland Emmerich blowing shit up. I do like the fact that he was using models instead of CG. I'll give him that.
I will give him that too. But one thing that just kept bothering me is that the chemistry is horrible.
I wouldn't even say the chemistry is horrible. I think the script's horrible.
Yeah, the script is horrible, but Tatum and Fox, they don't work well together at all. One reason why is because you never once believed Jamie Foxx is the president. It looked and felt more of, it felt more as of a spoof than him playing a character, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned the word spoof, because you know what? Fuck it. Let's just get into it. Let's get into the biggest problem with Jamie Foxx's character.
Go ahead, my man. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I want to hear this question that you had for me as a white person, because I feel like I know what it is.
Okay, I feel like you know what it is, too, but my question is, and I know people probably give me shit as far as, like, oh, P1, you always hate the black characters in the movies and shit, and the reason why I hate the black characters is because they always play the most outlandish, stupidified, stereotype character in a movie where they just... Only reason why I give Denzel so much credit is because he never plays that stereotype of a black man or whatever.
Well, it's funny. I took my little brother to see this, and he was like, man, this feels like something that Denzel Washington turned down. I was like, if Denzel Washington got this script, he would have slapped the shit out of the writer.
Oh, thank God, yes. But my question to you is, is it in Hollywood's best interest that we have to have the black characters do this kind of things?
Nope.
Because it's just comedic to the audience?
I think it's just comedic to the audience because my brother kept looking at me. Like, at first he was like, haha, that's funny. And then after a while he's like, haha, yeah, wow, this is getting really racist.
It makes no goddamn sense why every, and I almost mean every black character, except for your Morgan Freemans, your Denzels, and your Don Cheadles or whatever, but almost every black character in here, in any movie or whatever, always plays the stereotype in some form or another, and it's just sitting there looking like, oh my god, and then they wonder why they don't get cast.
Right, and one of the things that, like, I noticed immediately, just from even watching the trailers, was that this was a movie that, you know, I don't want to say it's as bad as the Negro Bots from Transformers 2, but boy, does it come close!
Go ahead and say it. You might have to fill in for me on some of these things, because I'm still just scratching my head, baffling. And plus, I haven't ate yet, so I'm just, like, sitting here just going, maybe I just can't put the words together, but I'm still confused that we're still in this form.
Yeah, because, okay, we already said number one. Number one is that his last name is Sawyer.
Number two is that they had no chemistry. Number three is that Jamie Foxx is playing a spoof. I mean, he's pretty much
He's playing a spoof of Obama.
Yeah, and not a good one neither, because every time he opens up his mouth and he's staring, it almost seems like he's just trying to crack a smile at the edge of his teeth or whatever, and I'm just like, goddamn, he knows this is a comedy now, and yet he took this role anyway, and people are saying, oh, Jamie Foxx
I was thinking about, like, my brother and I were like, if this is a spoof of Obama, he should have, like, the writer should have just said, fuck it, and went for it, and he should have been out like, my fellow Americans, I'm here to kick ass.
Exactly, if you're gonna do that, whatever, because at times, I swear, I felt like this is not even a character at this. I mean, this is a parody movie, honestly.
Yeah.
This is a parody. Cannon Tatum's character, he's just a D-level Bruce Willis character from Die Hard.
Right.
Jamie Foxx is just a broke-down Obama or whatever. I mean, one thing that really pisses me off about this, and Olympus Has Fallen, which kind of made me mad in it too, but even though I gave it a decent rating, whatever, is the president is put on too high of a pedestal. Too high, where for some ungodly reason the president's life is worth more than the danger of the intel of what these people can get from them. Also, to see scenes where the president will turn himself over to save one little girl over the entire country is fucking stupid and makes you question this guy as our nation's leader. I mean,
right? It's one of those things.
Leader, to be the nation's leader, sometimes you got to be like, you know, you kind of be kind of cold hearted at times where people are threatening your country. I mean, we're using nuclear missiles here that can start war between countries and destroy the country we live in.
Right.
And you're willing to throw all that away for one little girl.
I know. Trust me, dude. All the same things popped in my head along with every racial undertone, because we got that. What's racial mark number two? Instead of saving all these secrets, any like nuclear codes or anything like that, he goes after his fucking Jordans.
which, by the way, was the worst fucking line in the movie, too.
No. Time out here. Now, let me ask this as a white person to a black person. Do you even care about Jordans anymore?
No. No. No.
Like, it was one of those things, like, when they said that line, I was like, has this script really been laying around for, like, 20 years and nobody touched it?
How did this scene get broken down, too, by the way? It was Channing Tatum on the phone talking about, okay, how do we escape I don't even know what Maggie Gyllenhaal's role in this fucking movie was.
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Let's be
honest. What was she doing in this
one? Let's be honest.
Richard Jenkins in here. I was just like, what are you two doing?
Okay, well, Richard Jenkins comes into the end, as we both know.
Yeah, it's fucking predictable. But the scene where he picks up his Jordans is like, okay, so Jamie Foxx lost one of his shoes because he stuck it in the rotor belts of an elevator, which I don't think that'll work because that fucking rotor belt was smashed as a fucking loafer in a heartbeat.
Right, that would go Final Destination 4 style.
Yeah, so he pretty much loses his shoes, and then when he's like, I'm going to go get it. He literally does say this line, too. I'm gonna get some shoes real quick. And he's about to pick up some more dressy shoes to put on, but then he looks up above him, and you see some Jordans on there. He's like, I'm going to grab my Jordans. I said, oh, my God. And then when they leave the room, Jamie Foxx or the president, whatever the fuck his name is, Uncle Tom Sawyer, if you want to call him that, whatever. He literally gets tripped or whatever by one of the guys that they shot, but he didn't die or whatever. And Jamie Foxx is constantly kicking him and saying in slow motion, get your hands off my Jordans or whatever. And I was just like, that is almost as bad as Welcome to Earth. I swear.
Yeah, well, at least Welcome to Earth was funny.
Yeah, I could... After hearing that line, I said, Welcome to Earth. This sounds like a goddamn Oscar line.
It's just like, you know, that's racist, Mark, number two. And frankly, okay, spoiling bastards, we know how this short... We know how this goes, where we go through scene by scene, but... Okay, we'll just give you... We already gave you the beginning. Let's just give them the end, and then, like... Okay, so it turns out that Richard Jenkins, who's a Secret Service agent, he's the mastermind behind this whole thing, because there's a peace treaty that... the president wants to put forth, but Richard Jenkins' character doesn't think it's going to work, so that's why he conducts this whole plan.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
By the time it got to the second half or whatever in this movie, where all the explosions and nonstop bullets and shit, like, did you really even fucking care?
No. No. I mean, especially when the movie...
Tried to seem all deep and shit, and yet nobody cared.
It's not only that, but the movie's 2.5 hours long. After an hour and a half, I don't care anymore.
An action film with no real drama to it. Like, this isn't The Dark Knight Rises. This isn't The Avengers. This isn't Superman. This isn't Spider-Man. This is nothing like that, whatever. So, this movie, there was no reason for this to be 2.5 hours long.
There's no plot progression. There's no plot progression.
No, and there's not even no character growth in this, whatever. Channing Tatum, I still felt like he was the same fucking guy from the beginning of the film all the way to the end. And I was just like...
Right.
So, all he did was put his... skills to use, whatever, and save the present. Oh, big fucking deal. I mean,
those
scenes, honestly, like, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't hate the action scenes as much or whatever. I was just looking, I was like, okay, this could be a decent action flick for an hour and a half, and yet we keep going back to Channing Tatum just walking down tunnels.
Right. You know, at the hour and a half mark, you start playing the Dave Chappelle clip, wrap it up, B.
Yeah, wrap it up. There was no reason. There's times where, towards the end of the film, where I was just like, okay. Snap on my finger. I was like, can I get out of here? There's a scene where Channing Tatum's outside of the White House just rubbing his head constantly. I was like, damn, this scene is 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, this is obviously a movie that easily could have been cut down for an hour and a half, but I guess the editor decided to take a vacation week?
And Roland Emmerich said, well, that Independence Day 2 ain't coming out till 2015, so I gotta
hold my fans over.
Yeah,
the five racist assholes that live down in the South.
Yeah, I gotta live. You know, somewhere in the half of the film, I honestly forgot what the plot was and realized the president's safety, because that's mainly what it's about, getting the president to safety. It's just an afterthought.
Yeah, it really is, because all it is, you know, it's a generic action film. It just sets up action scene, move on to the next action scene, move on to the next one.
I don't think... Here's another problem I have with these kind of films, too, now. And I'm starting to get this point. Well, except if it's Liam Neeson. Now, if it's Liam Neeson, then I believe it. But as far as Channing Tatum goes, I find it hard to believe that the military and all these special forces guy got murdered in this place, whatever, and yet Channing Tatum was the only one that could get the job done. I was just like...
I don't believe that unless he uses his stripping skills to subdue everyone. I don't know.
Because the shit he was just doing compared to all these people that were just had much more training than he had. I was just like, wow, you know, you... You really, I mean, honestly, Gerard Butler was more believable in doing this than...
Well, that's because Gerard Butler... Here's the difference between Gerard Butler and Channing Tatum in this. Gerard Butler, in terms of an actor, sold it better just because he went for it more. You can tell that he was having more fun. He put more emulation into his performance. And Channing Tatum just does Channing Tatum, where he doesn't really put any emotion into his character.
Oh my god, you just summed it up so perfectly there, because every time Channing Tatum opens his mouth up, it sounds like his voice cracks at the end of his line, and yet he smiles at it or whatever, and I'm just like, dude, that you didn't deliver that as good at all. And I hear all these people saying, oh, doesn't Channing Tatum seem to be getting better and have so much charisma about him?
I'm
just like, there's no charisma in him at all, whatever. It's just his looks that has charisma, and you guys are just fooled by that shit, whatever, honestly. I mean,
yeah,
this dude is not a leading man, and I swear, this movie, it could have used a leading man, action star, somebody. I mean, shit, it really could.
I agree with you. I think if you get any other person in his role, someone who's just even halfway decent, you could have had somewhat of a better movie. I wouldn't say a better movie, but you got some elements that are better, but he's horrible.
Honestly, if you would have switched out Jamie Foxx, you know, just switch his lines up. If you would have switched his lines up, switched out Channing Tatum permanently, whatever, and just shortened the film, I could see this being somewhat of a fun action film.
Make Jamie Foxx Dave Chappelle. There you go. Boom.
You might as well. I mean, goddamn, at this point, whatever. You might as well. He should have been that dude from the... I forgot what Superman was. Yo, man, that's a bad outfit.
Oh!
He should have just been that dude, honestly, or whatever, because it was at the point where Jamie Foxx was just talking or whatever. I was just like, you might as well be the butler, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not buy you as the president whatsoever.
Okay,
I mean.
Should we mark Rachel moment number three?
Yo, please do, later, please.
So, there's a scene where they have to get into a car, Channing Tatum's like, Mr. President, get in the back. He's like, I'm used to this. And I'm like, whoa, what?
Where did that come from, though?
Who broke this? That's my question.
Okay, one other thing I have to tell you, the villains. Honestly, this was a movie, it's kind of like Fast 6, alright? No, any of the Fast and Furious movies, it comes to a point where it's like, this movie even really need a villain, let alone seven of them?
Yeah, but, okay.
It's more of a spectacle than it is about...
Somehow I knew you were going to bring this up, but here's the difference between Fast 6 and... or any of the Fast and Furious movies and this. The Fast and Furious movies, at least in their action scenes, are better choreographed, they're well-executed, and, you know, we've crapped on the characters in Fast and Furious before, but they're more likable than these idiots.
Oh, but the same... But I'm not talking about all that. I said the villains. I was like, Fast and Furious don't really need villains, because... The movie sells itself on the cars and the title alone, whatever.
But I agree.
With this one, it felt like it had so many fucking villains and kept switching back and forth, whatever. It was just like, all right, I honestly don't care now who's the villain.
And also, you know, going back to the Fast Furious thing, at least that villain was a good actor. He was a good actor. We both said that in the review. He was likable.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it's just a single villain who is pretty damn menacing and can prove that he can screw with everyone, like in the Fast and Furious, at least the last Fast and Furious movie, you have something there that can at least carry the movie in terms of a villain. You might forget about him in some scenes, yeah, but at least when he pops back in, you're not like, who the hell are you? You still remember him.
And
unlike this movie.
And that's the thing about Fast 6, too. That villain was, he had charisma. He was charismatic, whatever.
Yeah, he was a good villain.
But in this movie, the villains here is just they're just generic cookie cutter villains or whatever. And then the plot just keeps going on because they keep saying names like this guy's name and this guy's name. And I honestly got kind of confused. I was just like, okay, who's the fucking villain here? And then
Right. Halfway
in the plot, I kind of just realized like, all right, I see where the double cross is coming, where Richard Jenkins comes in. And I was just like,
it's like halfway. I like how you did that halfway through the film. Halfway through the film, when that started happening, I was like, who cares at this point?
Thank you. That's why I kind of made my comparison to facts. I was just like, nobody cares about a villain. Just show me the fast cars and the girls and all this, whatever, and shit like that. But with this one, like you said, who cares? Because the action scenes in this movie go on for so long, it's just like, I don't even care what the plot is. I hear all these revenge twists. Oh, you killed my son. Oh, I'm going to get war back on Iran and all that. It's just like,
right.
Who cares? Why is this trying to get political?
And here's the thing. Here's another element that I want to talk about that you and I have talked about. You said I like, you know, the action spectacle more than the story spectacle, and that seems to show more this summer.
Yeah.
Not in this case.
You didn't care about the action scenes in this?
I liked how they were done with models. I liked some of them, but most of them were just really generic. It was nothing new that I hadn't seen.
See, I agree with you. And one thing I could probably disagree on, not even so much disagree, I mean, because it's one a little add, I'll just add on to that, whatever. It's just, I didn't think the action scenes were bad. I just think it went on for too long.
Yeah. You know what? That's a way better way to put it. It's just, at 2.5 hours long, you can't keep throwing action scenes at people and have them not care. You have to have at least something of a story to keep people interested for that long. If you don't, then what's the point?
And that's why I gave credit to the villains in the beginning of this review, is just a little bit. I just said, they look menacing. They won't stop to hesitate to shoot someone over there, but at the same time, we keep cutting back to scenes where Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum and they're cracking jokes and shit.
Right. It doesn't fit. And I found the writer. His name is James Vanderbilt. Apparently, he's done pretty much every role in an Emmerich movie. So, go figure.
Didn't he do the... you know what? I know the writer. One of the writers. Didn't he do The Amazing Spider-Man as well?
Yeah, he did. So,
sum up with my problem. But, you know...
Oh, boy. That just made me think about Electro.
Oh shit, I just forgot. I started thinking, I was like, Lecture. I was like, oh wait a minute, I forgot. You know, I mean, although I really didn't care who the real villain was, I thought that they were at least terrifying to some degree, whatever, and will kill anyone in their way, but I thought with them as the villains and the subject matter of the situation is too serious at this point for Channing Tatum to be cracking jokes or for lines like, get your hands off my Jordans.
Right. It doesn't fit tonally. It doesn't.
Oh, it's almost as soft as there was two directors on the film. One that was shooting inside the White House and Emmerich shooting, and Michael Bay shooting fucking Jamie Foxx and Tatum.
Okay. Huh, now thinking about it, that actually does sound right.
I think Michael Bay, at some points, he can deliver on action scenes. I just don't think he can work well with characters.
No, the only time I finally watched Pain and Gain, I think that's the only movie he's been able to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's because it just wasn't so high on the spectacle of action scenes. It was
right, that was more like, you know, that movie wrote itself.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah. I love the Michael Bay to give an interview saying, passion project. I'd be like, wow.
Yeah, really. But... I don't know. It's just there's nothing really here, folks. There's nothing. There's nothing you haven't seen before. I don't know if I can even agree with you about the villains, because yeah, they're menacing and they'll shoot at anything. But when you have the accuracy around Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx of a fucking star trooper, you know, I know you're gonna miss.
Oh, here's another thing I have a problem with too. I almost forgot about this scene. So, Jamie Foxx gets shot.
Yeah.
Just like in The Princess Fallen. The president gets shot, but yet he doesn't die. And I'm just like, oh my god.
And the president's not wearing body armor.
Yeah. I would imagine by the time that they had, when they found out the cause of this was going on, first of all, I find it pretty goddamn ridiculous that these people could get in the White House so goddamn easily. You know what? I gotta say this right now, Lehu. We might need to move to another country, because if they keep making these movies about blowing up the White House, some terrorist is going to watch this fucking movie and be like, oh, it's that simple.
There's an idea.
Because the whole time I was watching this, I honestly was getting 9/11 vibes and shit.
No. I wasn't, just because it was too ridiculous.
And I was just saying that, just like, how many of these blowing up the White House movies where they make it, like you said, it's getting too ridiculous that someone is actually going to fucking be like, well, you know, if it's that easy or whatever, let's go ahead and try this or whatever. And I was just getting bad vibes. I'm just like, I wish people would stop making these dumb things, because there are dumb terrorists out there that try dumb things like this or whatever.
I don't, you know what, if you look at the production of this and Olympus Has Fallen, it's that classic case. It's the same thing that happened with Snow White last year, where it's two studios, they saw the same idea, and they said, we're both going to do it.
Yeah.
you know, it happens every year with an idea. There's nothing we can do about it. One movie is obviously better than the other, and boy, was it painfully obvious which one was better in the first 5 minutes of this film.
I felt bad for Maggie Gyllenhaal and Richard Jenkins. I really did.
I did too. I felt bad for the little girl until she opened her mouth with her liberal BS, but then I was just like...
Isn't that the girl from The Dark Knight Rises?
In yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, now I feel bad for her.
Yeah, because it's like the thing, like, where he's like, oh, it's a cute little girl, and then she starts mouthing all this politics stuff, and spoiling bastards are going to slowly find out if you say politics around me, I will start getting inherently angry.
Did you not feel the same way, though? Like, oh, it's a sweet little girl, she looks cute or whatever, I hope nothing bad happens to her. And then she opens her mouth, I can't stand this fucking girl, when she's
yeah. Yeah.
There was a scene where one of the villains, I think it was Jason Clark, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, Jason Clark, he has a gun to her or whatever, and... I can't remember what he was telling her, because I really wasn't paying attention. I was just hoping he'd shoot her or whatever, and I don't know what he was telling her, but she just kept saying, get out of my face. And I was just like, did you not just see him shoot this dude?
Right. No, it was funnier to me where it's like, if he pointed the gun at her face, it's like, well, this is going to be an option for gun control. Now, if you shoot me, you're going to cause a whole riot by people who want gun control and who don't. And I would have been like, oh, God, Mother Almighty.
He just kept spitting lines like, you're going to go to jail. And I was like, oh, we're
really? Really? No, I think he's going to get off.
And we're established at the beginning of this film, this girl isn't stupid. I mean, she's not dumb. She's a girl. She's a little girl. She's a teenager at heart. I mean, you could see it right off her face. But at the same time, when she questions the president and tells him about his plan, he's just like, even the president's like, wow, I'm shocked that a girl your age, which she's 11 in the film, knows all about these politics and all the problems we have going on in Iran right now. You know what I mean? So it's established that she has somewhat of a brain.
It's like, right, I'm shocked that she does too. I'm shocked that she's not like most kids who don't care about that crap because they shouldn't.
Yeah exactly, whatever. But the fact that she does, whatever, and even the adults that are on this tour, they're looking at her like, oh, okay, wow. Even the tour guide is like, how the hell did you know that or whatever? So, I mean... So it's established that she has somewhat of a brain, but halfway down the film, she just becomes one of these fucking kids, honestly, that I wish they would have just murdered her. Honestly,
Becomes one of those kids that's like, help me! Help me!
She became Chris Tucker in a Roland Emmerich film, running down the aisle, screaming as fucking things just fall. Ah!
Yeah, alright, well, I'm done with this.
You ready to wrap this up? What do you give this, lady? What's your summary of this?
Alright, well... I can't give it a fuck it as much as I want to, just because the only reason why is because I do like the fact that I used all practical. I forgot how much I missed that.
That does kind of take you back.
Right, and how more effective it is to use models and stuff like that. I liked that better instead of just freaking CG in my face, Superman, all over the place. So,
yeah, even in Olympus Has Fallen, even the effects in that looked bad. When that tower was coming out, I was like, wow, they zoomed right in on that.
Yeah, so I'll give him points for that, but that's as far as I can go. I mean, you said it best. The chemistry is bad. It's way too goddamn long. It's, I'm losing track. It's probably one of the most racist films I've seen in years. So,
is it the most, can I ask you another question? When is the last time you've seen a generic action film like this long? I'm trying to think back. I mean, even though I don't know if you get, but I know I've given some shit to some action films about, oh, it's dumb, but, you know, hey, I can go along. But they've all been like an hour and 40 minutes at the most.
They wrap themselves up quickly. No, I might think about it in a little bit, but I can't really think of anything right now. So, yeah, this is, if you want to kill 2.5 hours, yeah, this is a stream. If not, pass it right on over.
You know what? Saying that, you can just walk in 30 minutes late and you'll be caught up right to speed, honestly.
Good point. Yep. Yeah, might as well do that.
So, what are you giving it?
Stream it. Low stream it.
You know what? I gotta agree with you. Like, part of me, I wanted to give it a fuck. I honestly could, but some part of me, I did not walk out just angry at the film, whatever, like I have been with some film. I mean, the movie for me wears out its welcome. Yeah, being this damn long with the conclusion.
Oh, no. I thought of the film that was just as bad, After Earth.
Was how long was that?
After Earth was about 2 hours, but even that felt too long.
Yeah, because I was going to say, wasn't it like an hour and 45? I think it was an hour and 45 to an hour and 50.
Really? It felt much longer
than me. It felt longer, but I remember it being like, because I remember we complained about it. I was like, this movie's only an hour and some minutes or whatever, but yeah, it felt like fucking 2 hours.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Oh, no. No, I got mine, The Last Airbender, because that was good. That was good 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I guess that was. I'd never even considered that to be an action. I don't think that was a generic action. When I say generic, I don't mean no sci-fi elements add to it or whatever. I mean generic as far as like a Die Hard or even Olympus Has Fallen or
sorry, you know? I was thinking about Pieces of Shit. I'm sorry.
But no, The Last Airbender, hey, you know what? Out of all action films, even if you want to throw sci-fi, did Sucker Punch come out after? I mean, I don't know.
Sucker Punch didn't feel that long to me just because I was laughing at how ridiculous that was.
Okay, well, you know, hey, so, I mean, it wears out its welcome being this damn long with the conclusion, with twists, although predictable. I mean, the appeal here is virtually explosions, nonstop shooting, and unlimited ammo and grenades. So I don't know how many fucking grenades they had at the end of the film or whatever.
So it's a bunch of explosions, so Drew will love it.
Yeah, so if anything, that's probably the only thing that would keep you watching. But nonetheless, it still goes on for too goddamn long. It was wearing me out, honestly. I was just like, oh my God, Channing, just save the fucking girl already. But with you, I didn't, like you said, I mean, I didn't walk out of this movie hating it or whatever. I mean, there's probably even a part of me that can watch it again with friends if I just fast forward through it or whatever, but... It's like a lot of fast forwarding. Like I told my buddy Eggman, can you go grab me a beer?
Yeah. Why'd you skip an hour and a half of the film? Trust me.
I didn't skip an hour and a half. You didn't. I bet you sit down and not miss a goddamn thing, to be honest, or whatever. But I'm with you. I'm giving this a low stream, it honestly.
Yeah. So there's something better that came out this week, right?
Yeah, it's called Django Part 2 with Jamie Foxx. Except only this time it wasn't set in period piece time. So.
Oh, good Lord. Good night, everyone.
Good night.